Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're getting an update on the happenings of the Sierra Conservation Center on this weekend show, the state prison located outside of Jamestown. We're pleased to be joined in studio by the new warden who was recently appointed, Hunter Angel. We've been talking a lot about the Sierra Conservation Center. Warden Angel, the next thing I want to ask you about is, you know, inmates that come to Sierra Conservation Center, do they come from all parts of the state or are there just certain areas?
No, they're California inmates from all over, from the northern border to the southern border. Just to explain a little bit on the physical plant at the institution, we have three facilities. One facility, our A facility, is where we, our primary camp training area, which is a level one facility, and then B facility is a level two. And then our C facility is a level three SNY. And the SNY inmates are basically people that have renounced the gang lifestyle and denounced their gang ties and are just trying to program. Between the three facilities and our camp population, about 4,500 inmates. But our population mirrors the population of the state of California. The population in L.A. is the biggest population in the state, and our vast majority of our inmates come from L.A. Less so from the Bay Area and Sacramento, and then the rural inmates, like from this area, very few of them.
Also, Sierra Conservation Center today, as opposed to a decade ago, there's been a lot when it comes to prison reform over the past several years. You alluded to this a little bit earlier, but, you know, how has the prison system kind of changed, you know, over recent years?
One of the biggest things that's happened is the population decrease. We were running at 200% of capacity, and now we run about 130 to 140%, which does a lot of things for us. It opens up space where we can program. I've mentioned self-help programming in the past. It has reduced violence because there's just less inmates, less chance of having an incident. There's a lot of incentives to the inmates to program through. We have the education. If they get their GED or high school diploma, they get time off their sentence. If they go to self-help programs, for every 52 weeks or 52 hours they spend in a program, they get a week off their sentence. And then there's milestones. So, for example, I used earlier of the inmate firefighter. When he completes that PFT and FFT component, he gets a week off his sentence. So there's a lot of incentives for the positive program, which between the population reduction and incentives, I've seen a significant reduction in violence statewide.
Good to know. Is there much community outreach at Sierra Conservation Center?
You know, our staff, I'm smiling, I'm proud of them. They're all components of this. We have don't want to talk politics, but we have somebody running for a county board of supervisor. We have little league coaches, football coaches at the high school level and the youth level. We have fundraisers on a regular basis. For example, in 2017, we donated 13,000 plus to local charities. We did the Polar Plunge for Special Olympics. Last summer, we had a Special Olympic softball game on our C facility. That was a great event. Our staff are just part of this community, and they're an integral part, I believe.
So Special Olympic athletes actually got to come to the facility and play softball there?
Yes, they came and they played, four three-inning games, and it took the inmates one inning to realize that they weren't supposed to win.
Had to be a fun experience for all involved, I'm sure.
It was. They were asking for it again. Another program we have there, we partner with a local, basically, dog rescue area. We have, currently we have eight dogs at the institution. Four of them are on our C facility that live in the cell with the inmate, and then four of them on our B facility. The group that we partner with is FOAC, but they keep the dogs for about 3 months, and then they adopt them out. In fact, my administrative assistant is adopting one of those dogs in the very near future.
Also, I know the state prison system or individual prisons go through state audits from time to time. How often does that occur, and have there been any recent findings in regards to audits?
There's a variety of audits that we're constantly being audited. Next Monday, we start our environmental health survey. We have our Prison Rape Elimination Act audits. Armstrong audit is a Armstrong lawsuit that has to do with Americans with Disabilities Act. Recently did a 12 prison study for the 12, there was originally 12 prisons in this state for from the 40s till the 90s, and then they start late 80s, then they now we're up to 35. So those original 12 have a lot of infrastructure issues for being so old. I mean, San Quentin's almost 150 years old, so they did a study on that. We have security audits we do internally, but the state also sends auditors in to look at us every other year. And the OIG, so most people would know, everybody that works in the system knows that the a lot of the things that we're doing are lawsuit driven. And one of them is access to health care for inmates. And the Office Inspector General audits us on that regularly. And then it was April of 2017, we were reaccredited by the American Correctional Association.
You mentioned lawsuits, a lot of them is just response, so you have to do different things from time to time, make updates and changes?
Yes, we're driven by that and the legislature and the propositions and stuff like that. I think we're in a really good place with leadership in this department now. For a long time, like the prison law office, we gave them low-hanging fruit. They would see how we did business, and then they would see how that, and they could identify what wouldn't play good in a court, and they'd file lawsuits on behalf of the plaintiffs. And I think our directorate and headquarters is pretty proactive now at alleviating those things before they get to that point. And so we haven't had any really earth-shattering lawsuits, but we've had lawsuits that we've been under for 20 years. That we're still trying to get out from under. Sierra Conservation Center is one of the 14 or 15 prisons where the authority for the health care has been delegated back to the Department of, from the receivership to the Department of Adult Institutions. So we're proud of that.
Being the warden at Sierra Conservation Center, what does your job kind of all entail? I know there's probably a number of different things you oversee.
All the operations of the prison, but I have managers that are responsible for, basically associate wardens are each responsible for approximately a quarter of the prison. I have four of them. And then I have a chief deputy warden that should be hired in the next couple of weeks. And they're generally the operations person. And the warden pretty much just puts out a vision and direction on where they want to take everybody.
We've hit on a number of topics. Any other challenges that you see that lie ahead in the coming years for prisons like Sierra Conservation Center?
The one I mentioned is by far our biggest. There's always complacency too when you're doing the same thing day after day. And one of my visions is that we become the highest trained institution in the state. I push training all the time. Sometimes it impacts inmate programs a little bit. We'll shut down program once a month as our institution training day. But I think it's necessary. Sometimes it's better to shut down program for one day a month and be better at what we're doing. It alleviates more problems by doing that than it causes by shutting down one day a month. But that's complacency and training are the two things that I really want to raise a level at Sierra Conservation Center.
When funding comes for Sierra Conservation Center, do you get a set amount every single year? Does that fluctuate from year to year? How's that work?
I wish I could quote our budget to you, but I'm thinking it's real close to $170 million a year. And that's salary and wages and money for repairs, and that includes all 20 camps and the institution. So, it's pretty set. I do know that, the economy of the state has a lot to do with that. Right now, we're in really good times. We've got four of our buildings where the roof replaced, or excuse me, the roofs are being replaced right now. Those have been needed for 10 years, and the Department of Finance has given the department enough money that they're starting to fix roofs statewide. I can tell you 10 years ago when the economy was terrible, we never thought that would happen. So, but it's a way better to fix a roof now than have to fix a roof and the inside of the building down the road. So,
well, Warden Angel, it's been great to get to know you a little bit more. Congratulations again on the new position, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Right, thank you.
Again, we thank our guest this weekend, Hunter Angel. He is a new warden at the Sierra Conservation Center outside of Jamestown. Programming note, next week on Mother Lode Views, we'll turn our attention to health-related topics. Be joined in studio by Tuolumne County's new health officer, Dr. Bob Bernstein. I'm BJ Hansen. We'll see you again next week on Mother Lode Views.
You've been listening to Mother Lode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Mother Lode. Mother Lode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.